Well, my thanks to the choir. Didn't they sound lovely? If I'd heard what angels have sounded like singing to me, I would say no doubt that they sounded just like angels singing. Lovely, absolutely lovely. Thank you very much, choir, for the time that you put in and the practice. That was wonderful. Thank you for sharing with us. Well, God is indeed faithful, is he not? We have a faithful God whom we serve, and we are here this morning. I hope that you've come among the reasons, perhaps even the primary reason, is to come and worship not just anyone, not just anyone of power, of notoriety, of wealth in our nation or indeed the world. But you've come here for the primary reason, to worship none other than God Almighty. God Almighty, because he is faithful. So I welcome you here this morning, whether you're here for the first time, or indeed you've been coming for many years and you feel like you're just part of the furniture now. Everyone is welcome here this morning. As we seek to come into his presence, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer and lift his name up high in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to you this day as your children, and we can come before you and call you legitimately our Heavenly Father. Lord, you are our Creator. You created all things and you gave us life. You are so faithful to us, Lord, even from the first time when sin happened in this earth, in the Garden of Eden, with Adam and Eve. Lord, before then, and through that time, and through the time that men fell and went astray, Lord, you were faithful. You had a plan in motion to redeem mankind. Lord, we thank you that that plan never faltered, and that you saw at every stage throughout history through to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, God coming down from heaven in the likeness of man to die on the cross. We thank you, Lord, for his sacrifice, that he died in our place. Lord, you are so faithful that you would go to such lengths to redeem your creation at the cost of your own life. And that his blood that was shed is the payment for our sin. And not just for the nation of Israel, not just for the people in the first century, Lord, but for the sins of the whole world, that whomever believes in you shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, I thank you that we have, in the name of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins. We praise you this morning. We ask you to accept our prayers and our worship, because you are worthy, O Lord. There is none other like you in heaven and on earth. Lord, you are the one true God. And we give you praise this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So for this next bit, I'm going to ask you to really kind of extend your imagination. You're going to have to be creative with your imagination. This worked fine at home. And I hope the message and the illustration comes across. Okay. So, pretend that everyone on the ground floor, you're a mixture of God-fearing people and non-God-fearing people. This illustration doesn't apply to those on the top there or even people here on the stage. You're standing on some earth, some ground, but all of a sudden, there's a sinkhole. The ground falls beneath you by 4 feet. 4 feet. And I guess you're probably going to be startled at that. The earth has just sunk beneath you. But all of a sudden, from the ground comes this toxic sludge. And it's coming all around your feet. And this toxic sludge is rising, but it's hurting you. It's hurting your feet. And you're probably thinking, what am I going to do about this situation? Now imagine that this is a snake. For me, it's a friendly snake. Okay? But if I were to say to you, this toxic sludge that is going to kill you, you have a choice. You can look at this snake and you will survive. You will survive this snake. The snake. Looking at the snake, well, you will survive the toxic sludge. Now, I wonder, of all the people that are in this pit, how many of the unbelievers, how many will not pay attention to what I've just said? How many would try to think, well, do you know what? That's only 4 foot high, that. I can get out of that. And not pay a bit of attention to what I've just said. And you'll start scrambling towards the sides trying to get out. How many would not even pay attention to what I've just said, just thinking, oh, hello, there's some toxic sludge here. I wonder what I'm going to do about that. Well, that's not usual, is it? And you ignore what I've just said. But how many would then turn around and say, what's he talking about? Why should I listen to that man who's got a sock on his hand and he's pretending it's a snake? It's nothing, is it? How many would do that and not pay attention, take heed? But how many would turn round and look at the snake and would survive the toxic sludge? I just wonder, is your imagination able to keep up with this illustration? I don't know, but what it does, and what I hope it was doing, was going to lead us into our scripture this morning, because there's this little piece, this little verse, that comes just before a very well-known verse, John 3:16. I'm sure most of us can recite it off by heart. But it says this, and you'll need to, if you don't know the story, I encourage you, go home and read the story in Numbers. It's about Moses. And Jesus says this, fleetingly, from verse 14. And Moses lifted up the serpent, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, the whole world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Isn't that good news? That God came to save not just the state of Israel, but his blood paid for the sins of the whole world. So with that in mind, we're going to stand and sing three songs together that remind us that salvation belongs to God alone, and that only he has the power to redeem us from our fallen state. And then we're going to sing a song about how joyful we are and thankful that we are to God Almighty for renewing us in our spirits, giving us a new spirit and giving us the promise and the hope of everlasting life. So let's stand and sing three songs together. If you are salvation belongs to our God.
Salvation belongs to our God. He sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength. Peace to our God.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
I will praise you, Lord. Yes, I will.
Please take a seat. Okay, we come to a special point in our service where I ask a very serious question. However, this week it's a little bit more complicated than normal. I had a call during the week and I was told that there was a young boy whose birthday it was last week. He was too shy to come to the birthday box. All right. So I just want to know, is said young boy, I mean I can call his name out, but I won't. Is said young boy and mother here this morning? Anyone? Anyone over there? No? No? Okay. That's a shame. Hopefully, I can't do it with one hand. I know what he was after as well. But I'm sure we've got plenty of these. If this one should go, there's another one in there too. So, he's not here this morning, but is there anyone else here this morning? Young people, to start off with, young people who's had a birthday in the last few days or one in the... We have one. Come to the front. Anyone else have a birthday in the last few days or next few days to come? Okay. Whose birthday is it? Tallulah's. And how old is Tallulah?
One year old.
Now, normally, I would normally say, sometimes I would say, well, do you know what? I remember when I was one. But I really can't remember that far back. So, would you like to pick a gift for Tallulah as a thank you and celebration on behalf of the church? And what we're going to do before we sing happy birthday to Tallulah, told you it's complicated this morning. Okay, are there any adults who, and it's just the birthdays I'm after at the moment, I haven't even finished the sentence. Can I say how old you are? It's a big 70. So congratulations. Your birthday as well? Yesterday, I won't ask because you're a lady and we don't ask ladies how old they are. All right, so we've got a number of adult birthdays. You picked a gift? Wonderful. Stay here, I'll be finished shortly. Is there anyone else, right? I'm just putting this out there just in case. This had a massive wedding anniversary recently. I think there might be someone. Can I say how many years? Can I say how many years, Pam? Six. Can I say 60? Am I allowed to say 60? Brilliant. All right. Congratulations, Pam. All right. So, I know this is our birthday song, but we're going to wish everyone a happy birthday. Ian.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
So at this point, I'm going to ask the children if they want to leave and go to their respective groups. And as you leave, we're going to pray for you. And we're going to pray for your leaders. And we're going to pray for your time in your groups, that you will be blessed by the Lord. Let's pray for the children. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the children in our midst this morning. Lord, they are a blessing to us, not just for their immediate family, Lord, but for the church family as a whole. And we pray that as they go to their groups, Lord, that you will lay your hand on those that are leading the sessions. Lord, that you will inspire them and that you would encourage them to be creative, and that what they share with the children, Lord, will be a blessing to the children and the activities and whatever it is they're learning, Lord, that may they increase in our love and our knowledge of you this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're just going to come to a time of prayer now. And so if you would like to just still your spirit, and we'll come before the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father. We recognize, as we have said earlier, that you are the one true God, the ever faithful God, the God who created all things, the God who gave us life. Lord, the earth is yours and all that is in it. Heaven is yours and all that is in it. All belong to you. And you are the name and the power above all else. And we are thankful, Lord, that you are such a good God, that you are in control this day of those things in heaven and those things on earth. And everything and everyone is subject to your will. You are God Almighty, and there is no other. And in you alone is our hope, Lord, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven in the likeness of man, that he may walk amongst us, to know our frailty in the flesh, Lord, but ultimately to give his life on the cross, Lord, that we might be redeemed from our condition, our lost and fallen condition, being so filled with sin and corruption before you. And in him, therefore, because of the free gift through grace and grace alone, through faith, that we can come to you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we know that we have been cleansed of all our sin, Lord, and we can be thankful because we have in your Son everlasting life. And Lord, that we know that this life that we live now on this earth is not the end of all things when our physical bodies perish, Lord, but that we continue on, not just start afresh, but we continue on with you, living with you forevermore. As we live with you now, spiritually speaking, we are redeemed. And we have been made whole. Lord, I pray, Lord, that this time in our nation where we have just undergone a change in government, Lord, respective of people's politics, regardless of who they voted for, Lord, I pray that you would keep us in mind to know that you are the Lord that rules heaven and earth, and that you are ultimately our first Lord and our God. But everything else, Lord, that we would encourage whatever government is in power, Lord, that they would know you, that they would hear you, that they would follow you. And I know that this is a battle, and this seems impossible to us, Lord. But remind us often, I pray, that we have access to the throne of God through prayer, that we can lift our concerns to you, Lord. And we can ask you, Lord, keep us in righteousness. Keep us on a straight and narrow path. Lord, if there are, as there no doubt will be, divisions in our nation politically, Lord, that you will heal our nation, not for the political aspects of it necessarily, Lord, but lead us towards your Son, Jesus Christ, that our eyes and our attention would turn to him. Lord, and I pray also for our church, Lord, with many people that are suffering in our midst. Lord, that you would comfort them. The Holy Spirit is already in each and every redeemer, every person that's been redeemed. Lord, and I pray that you would just strengthen each one and comfort each one that are struggling, Lord, whether in physical illness in their bodies, Lord, but also emotional as well, Lord. And help us as a church to throw our arms around those that need that hug, that need that hearing ear. Lord, that we would take the time for those that are in need in our midst to spend time with them, to get alongside them, to understand their needs, and if it is in our power, Lord, to help them in any way that we can. And if we do not have the power, Lord, to pray for you, to you for that power, that we can help those that are in need. Lord, heal those that are sick amongst us, and heal those that have emotional turmoil amongst us. Lord, we know that you are a faithful God. And so we carry on this morning remembering that you are a God that loves us, and that you are a God that came down and you gave your life for us on the cross. That no matter where we live, what generation we were born in, what nation we were born in, that whoever believes in the Son and in his name shall have everlasting life and shall not perish. And for that we give you thanks. In Jesus' name. Amen. So before Nathan comes and delivers his sermon, we're going to sing two songs that really just remind us of God's amazing grace, and that, you know, there are times where we want to be able just to sing and to share and be ready to give an answer to the hope that is in us through Jesus Christ. So let's stand and sing Amazing Grace.
My secret. dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever.
Certainly our thanks to Brian and the worship team for leading us in worship this morning. And good morning to you all. Very good to see you all. Good to be here in church and to see your smiley faces. And more importantly, it's good to worship God together and to encounter his presence through his Holy Spirit. So good to see you. And just before we get into the word, just two brief notices. After the service, there's going to be a baptism class for anyone who is desiring to be baptized or want to know more about baptism. So after the service, after we've had a time of fellowship, teas and coffees, just stay behind and then we'll reconvene in here in the sanctuary to have that baptism class. Next week will be part two of the baptismal class, and then the third week will be the baptism. So please feel free to join. Even if you are not one of those whom I've already spoken to, and a bit of feedback here. Even if you're not one of those who I've previously spoken to and you feel like you want to be baptized or want to know more about baptism, then you are welcome as well to stay behind after the service. And we'll certainly welcome you. Second notice is on Saturday, right, I'm going to have a change over here. Just use the main one. Okay. Test 1, 2. That better? Good. The second notice is on Saturday, this coming Saturday, we're going to be having our generational music quiz here at the church on Saturday at 6:30. We've done this last year, and it was really, really good fun. So if you think you know music, then please, this is for you. Please come out on Saturday at 6:30. It's going to be real fun. We're going to do a quiz for all the generations represented in the church, and there's going to be different genres of music for each generation. And you're going to have a chance to see, to test your knowledge, to see how good you know the music from each generation. So that's Saturday at 6:30. All right, let's get into the Word of God this morning. Now, we are going to start a mini-series this month entitled The Message in the Movie. The Message in the Movie. We're looking at a movie entitled Jesus Revolution that was shown here at the church a few weeks ago. And when I viewed this movie, it really just really blessed me, challenged me, and inspired me. And I said, since we're showing it in the church, I thought we would talk a little bit about it during this month and really talk about some of the challenging points during the movie. And there's so much relevance and synergy from the movie to the Word of God. So today, we are looking at the theme of God's welcome. And I'm asking the question, is everyone really welcome? Is everyone really welcome? Now, from the outset, from that question, I'm sure many of you are thinking, well, Nathan, that's easy. We know everyone's welcome. But there's one thing to say everyone is welcome, but there's another thing to actually make everyone feel welcome. We can even have banners outside the church saying, everyone is welcome. But the challenge is when people come in, are they made to feel welcome? So we're going to look at that challenge today. Is everyone really welcome? I'm going to read for you today from Acts chapter 10. And I'm going to look at a few passages here in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 10 from verse 34. We see these words from the early church. It says, then Peter began to speak. And he's speaking here to the household of Cornelius, who were Gentiles. They were non-Jews. And look what he has to say. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who, here it is Lord of some. What does it say? Lord of all. So here we see Peter, the Lord's apostle, he comes to the realization that the love of God is not just poured out for the Jews. But he says, now I realize that God does not show any favoritism, no partiality. He's Lord of all. We're now going to come to verse 44. Peter goes on, he continues here, speaking to the household of Cornelius, talking about the gospel. And then in verse 44, look what happens. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. But here comes some of the saints, if you will. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter, the Jews, they were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. Even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. And then it says that he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay, to abode, to have fellowship with them, with the Gentiles, for a few days. Now, finally, we're going to come over to chapter 11 and just look at three verses here as this journey continues for the early church and this clash of cultures between the Jews and the Gentiles. And it says in chapter 11, verse 1, the apostles and the believers throughout Judea, they heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers praised him. They were happy. They were grateful that God had poured out the Spirit on the Gentiles. No, that's not what it says. Look what they did. They criticized him. Verse 3. And look what they had to say. You went into the house of uncircumcised men, and you had the audacity to eat with them. Wow. The question today, is everyone really welcome? I'm going to ask the team to play for us the video clip, just a short clip by way of introduction.
These kids are runaways, most of them. They got drug addictions, medical issues.
And they need our help.
Yeah, but Chuck, I mean, they need to go home. They're making our congregation uncomfortable.
Well, maybe they should be uncomfortable. Maybe we all should. Maybe it's my job to make us uncomfortable. I haven't been doing it.
Chuck, stop. This is enough. This is a house of worship. And yes, we expect a certain level of dignity here. These girls are wearing halter tops, and half of them aren't even wearing shoes.
They're staining the new shag carpet with their bare feet.
A carpet? Mm. Oh, yeah, let's be sure to save the carpet.
You keep this up, and you're going to drive away the only contributing members that we've got. You hearing me now?
Loud and clear.
What is going on?
Just place that right over there on that towel. And this other one here. Baptize these feet in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There you go. Welcome to church. Hello. Yeah. Let's have that foot, please. This is terrific. Okay. Place them both on that towel and then step on into church. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hello, young lady. How are you? Let's have that foot. Have that other foot. Well, why don't you go sit next to that fella in the cantaloupe jacket? Good to see you. Enjoy. You. Welcome to church. You. Hello, young lady.
Oh, last year I had the privilege of visiting New York City. I'm not getting a tourist. I paid a visit to the Statue of Liberty, and I read those famous words. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to breathe free. And as I read those words, I thought, well, that's Christianity, isn't it? It's It's the essence of it. An invitation to the broken. Jesus was very friendly with the outcasts. In Revelation 22, it says, let the one who can hear say, come. Let the one who is thirsty, come. Let the one who desires take the waters of life freely.
Amen. In 1968, the stern yet respected Southern Californian minister and pastor by the name of Chuck Smith, the one that was speaking there in that short clip, he realized that his church, and everyone could notice in the congregation, that Calvary Chapel, this local church in California, was slowly dying. He was unable to connect with the younger people in the community, and the church was struggling to bear fruit in the community. The church was slowly dying, struggling to connect with this live-free generation of young people and young adults there in Southern California. However, God was about to send the church a wonderful revival. It would literally revolutionize a declining church. Because after the minister's daughter, Janet, introduced her dad to a fellow by the name of Lonnie Frisbee, this colorfully dressed hitchhiker. And Lonnie was introduced to the minister, and he shared that his whole purpose and calling in life was to share the good news of Jesus Christ. His whole posture, attitude, and direction in life was geared towards ministering to the broken, reaching out to the lost, reaching out to those who could not find some sense of belonging in the community and also within the church. Now, at first, the pastor was suspicious of Lonnie, but through the mediation of his daughter, eventually the pastor warmed to Lonnie and welcomed him into the church and into his home. However, what follows, friends, is something that is beyond the pastor's wildest dreams. Because now through this one invitation of a stranger to have fellowship in his home and to invite him to the church, now Lonnie introduced this declining church hundreds upon hundreds of people, young people and young adults, that would now be drawn into this local church. Scores of young people were now flooding this local church. And consequently, they now wanted to be a part of God's church. And friends, you would think that this would be wonderful news for the aging congregation. You would think that a church that was struggling to reach new people for Jesus Christ would be so happy to welcome new people into the church that they would be bursting with excitement and joy to welcome hundreds of new people and to share the gospel and fellowship with these new people. Yet for some of the elders that you saw in the clip, for some of those on the leadership team, if you will, there was a split of opinion about whether the church should welcome these new people into the church. These were young people and young adults who shared a distinct fashion sense. They looked different from everyone else. They communicated differently from everyone else. Their outlook, their disposition on life appeared to be different from everyone else. They did not have all things in common with this local church, like the early church in the book of Acts. And the question for that church, and the question that I believe is relevant even for the church today, is what should we do when the local church receives an influx of new people? And as we've just observed from that short clip, the church was now drawn into a crossroads. It was a pivotal moment for the church, because now the elders have made it very clear to the minister. They have made their intentions known that on behalf of the congregation, these new people are not welcome. These new people with a seemingly strange sense of style and appearance, they are not welcome in the church. And listen again to some of the comments that were made in that clip. They say, these kids are runaways from home. They're not welcome here. They have medical issues. They're not welcome here. They have drug problems. They're not welcome here. They need to go home. They're making our congregation feel uncomfortable. This is a house of worship. The girls are not dressed appropriately. And even that last comment, they're messing up the carpet. Pastor Chuck, we want you to know that on behalf of the congregation, these new people are not welcome. And friends, can I say from the outset here that I believe that we must learn the lesson from this Southern Californian church? Because not only should we say from the fruit of our lips, verbally, that all are welcome in the church, but I believe that with action, we should seek to model to this community that everyone is welcome in God's church. We must be mindful that the call of Jesus Christ is not for some to come unto me, but the call is simply, whosoever will, let them come. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever you have done in your life, you may have a criminal record, you may have a sketchy past, you may have been on substance abuse, you may have taken drugs, you may have been an alcoholic, but whatever you have done, you are welcome in God's church. Because the same grace that saved us, that saved a wretch like us, is able to save anyone that would hearken to the call of Jesus Christ. The church must always remember the call of Jesus Christ. The heart of Jesus Christ is not to draw dividing lines in society. But the call of Jesus Christ is, whosoever will, you can come to sit around the table and enjoy fellowship with God. And may we as a congregation, as we see God at work in our midst, as we see people, new people come into the church, may we always model the welcome of Christ. That you are welcome to come just like anyone else. And we must go out of our way to make new people feel that warm welcome of Jesus Christ. So the complication, church, here in this movie, from the outset, is the concerns of the elders led to a parting of ways. But also, in the text that we just read this morning, we also see in the first century church the complication between the apostles and the believers in Jerusalem in relation to the gospel being spread now to the Gentiles, the non-Jews. And just like the movie where there was tension between the local church and welcoming new people, in the first century early church, there was also that very same tension. Because the early church believers were first disappointed with their leader, Peter, in that he had the audacity to sit around the table with Gentiles and eat with them. They were concerned that Peter, their leader, their Jewish leader, had the audacity to welcome non-Jews around the table, to share fellowship with them, and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And initially, they were not happy. In the King James Version, it says they contended with Peter. It was a sharp disagreement. They almost had an argument because they were concerned that Peter was going in a direction that was contrary, in their opinion, to their own belief. But Peter had to let them know that just like the movie where new people were coming into the Californian church, Peter had to let them know that this new influx of souls coming to the kingdom was not the result of his work, but it was the result of God's plan of salvation, reaching out to all, because he is Lord of all. And friends, may I encourage you this morning that we should never allow our own predeposed positions, our own likes and dislikes, our own preferences to draw dividing lines between welcoming people that may not even look like us or like the things that we may like. I remember when I was called here back in 2016, I believe. I remember some within my former church were saying, wow, you really gonna leave a church that is familiar to you, where 99.9% of the congregation share the same culture as you, and you're gonna leave the comfortability of your surroundings and now go to a church where culturally you will be in the minority? Nathan, how is that going to work out for you? They're not going to receive you. They're not going to like your style of ministry. But I can thank God today that almost 9 years later, I'm still here serving in the kingdom of God and in the community, and I can boldly declare that I have been welcomed by the church despite my background and my culture. And I say that to let anyone else here know today that you may look around and say, well, I have a different culture. I have a different upbringing. I have a different perspective. But I want to encourage you today, it does not matter. You are welcome here. I praise God that we are a community of diversity. It does not matter where you were born. You are welcome in God's church. It does not matter your background. It does not matter your race. You are welcome in God's church. You will not be looked down upon. You will not be mistreated. You will not be made to feel lower than the rest. because we understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just for one race or one culture, but the gospel of Jesus Christ is for the whole world. So whether you are white or black, whether you are from Africa, whether you are from Britain, it does not matter where you're from. It matters only that you receive the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The challenge here, friends, is the elders in the movie, they were so preoccupied with their own likes and dislikes that they failed to see the bigger picture of God's redemptive plan of salvation for the whole world. The kingdom of God is about souls that need a savior. But here's my final point, the celebration. Because in the second part of that movie clip, after the elders spoke with the pastor and they warned him that, listen, you've got to put a stop to this. You've got to get rid of these new people. If you don't, then some of the long-standing members, they're going to leave. And when you watch the movie, some of them do leave. But I'm so glad that Pastor Chuck had the courage of his conviction to say, you know what? I am going to, despite the warning of the elders, I am going to follow the will of God, and I am not going to run out of the church the new people, but what I'm going to do is I am going to model for the church how it is people should be received. So he got down on his knees with a bucket of water, and since they were upset that the carpets in the church were being messed up, he said, you know what? I'm going to wash everyone's feet as they make their way into the church, following the model of Jesus who washed his disciples' feet. A model of servanthood, a model of Christian service, that we must serve each other with humility. So the minister got on his knees and he washed each one's feet. And he said, you are welcome in God's church. And friends, I believe this is a wonderful example for us also to follow. Because just like in the movie, Peter shared with the Jews that the reason why the gospel was poured out and the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the non-Jews is because it's all part of God's bigger plan. And what I love about Peter is he himself had to get to a point where he could embrace all people. It didn't come overnight for Peter. There was a time when Peter was not too receptive to receive Gentiles into the church. But God had to teach him a lesson. So in a vision, Peter was up on a rooftop. And he was very, very hungry. And you know what God did? He made him fall into a trance. And he saw a wonderful vision of a great big white sheet being lowered from the heavenlies. And upon this sheet was all types of animals. Different types of animals of every kind. Reptiles and also birds of the air. And Peter looked at all of these animals despite being severely hungry. And he heard the voice of the Lord saying, Peter, rise up and eat. But Peter spoke back to God and said, no, no, no. I can't eat that which is unclean. But God said to him, no, Peter, it is not your right to call anything that I have blessed unclean. It was a lesson for Peter to let him know that you don't have the right to call those who may not look like you, those who may not share your own culture, and call them unclean. But everything that God has provided for on that great big white sheet is blessed of God and has the ability to receive from him. I'm so glad that God looked down upon us despite our wrongdoings, despite our cultural backgrounds, despite our race, and he says, you are welcome. So from that vision, church, Peter recognized that the gospel was for all, that no one was considered unclean anymore. That was the old, outdated milieu of the law. But now through Jesus Christ, every nation, every tongue, every tribe now has an opportunity to receive the love of God. So the pastor in the movie was skeptical at first. The elders were skeptical as well. They were concerned new ideas, new ways of doing things would cause a transformation away from that which was normal. But thank God, Pastor Chuck was able to model the welcome of God to say, whosoever will, you are welcome. And likewise, Peter in the first century church, he too could grow to the place where he could say, Gentiles, yes, you are not Jews, but you too are welcome because God's grace is available for you as well. In closing this morning, I want to challenge us as a church. And I want to lift for us this morning that I believe that God is about to do great things in our midst, that the likes of which perhaps we may not have seen before. I sense it. But the challenge for us as a church community is this. God may send us a harvest, but the challenge is, what will we do with the harvest? It's so important that we speak blessings over that which God has blessed us with, rather than speak cursings and speak against that which God has blessed us with. So I want to encourage us as a church. We may see new people come. They may not look like us. They may not talk like us. They may have different ideas. They may dress differently than us. But I'm here to encourage us. We've got to let them know you are welcome. You are welcome. And the same grace of God that reached me can also reach you too. I'll never forget when I was younger, my cousin who came from Jamaica to live with us for a while, he came to church one Sunday. And in my former church, you know, it was very quite, you know, strict in terms of dress. You know, there were certain rulings and you know, men would always wear suits and ties and women would wear dresses and it was wear church hats. It was quite that style of church. And here's my cousin come from Jamaica and he comes in his trainers and his jeans. And he comes to church. And do you know the sad thing? The looks that he received from the body, from those who are supposed to be mature Christians, as if to say, how can you come here dressed like that? Do you know, that put him off coming to church from that point on because of the feelings that he felt and the way that he was treated and welcomed all those years ago. And to this day, he still struggles. He was here for my wedding. And he still struggles to feel accepted and welcomed in church. Because the first time he came here to this country, and he came to church for the first time, he was made to feel less than simply because he dressed differently from everyone else. And church, that is the sad reality for so many even today, that they came to church where they should have been made to feel welcome, but it was not the case. Something was said that hurt them. A look, the way they were made to feel, where they should have come to feel encouraged, now they've left feeling discouraged. I pray for us as a church that that would never be our testimony. That all that come through these doors would know that they are welcome. It's a sad state for the church that if they feel more welcome in the world than they do in the church. And I pray for us as a community of believers that our welcome will not just be words, but our welcome will be action. Hallelujah. In the movie, a wonderful, wonderful blessing was wrought in the life of the church. A church that was dying was now brought to life through an influx of new souls added to the kingdom of God. And for the first century church, Peter was able to lead the church in Jerusalem to a new understanding that the gospel of Jesus Christ was not just poured out for the Jews, but the gospel of Jesus Christ was poured out also for the Gentiles. That's us, the non-Jews. And in closing today, I'm here to encourage the church of today that just like the movie of Southern California in the 60s, and just like the first century church, the same grace of Jesus is available for all today. And may we as a congregation model each and every day with not just what we say, but also through action, to let everyone know in Sittingbourne that all are welcome in God's church. Because for God so loved some of the world, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever color, it does not matter to him. He shows no partiality. His Son was given for all. That if you would come to him, you can have eternal life to the glory of God, the Father. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this challenging word today. And I thank you, Lord, that we are not at that place as a church, but we can always improve in our welcome. We can always make sure and go even further to ensure that all are welcome in God's church. Father, would you help us, the entire congregation, that we, Lord, can even extend with a greater emphasis to let everyone know in this community that they are welcome in God's church, that Jesus Christ loves them and has a great plan for their lives. That they can come just as they are, to come into the ark of safety, where the love of God may abound to every man, woman, boy, or girl. Father, I pray, Lord, for anyone here today that may have had some negative experiences in the past, that may, Lord, have had some feelings in the past, like, Lord, the Gentiles who were made to feel less than by the Jews at that time, or even in the movie clip, where those new people were made to feel less than because they did not fit in with the current context of that day. But I pray, Lord, for anyone here today who is struggling to fit in, feels like they're on the sidelines of society and even in the church, I pray that you would turn it around, Lord, that they would know that you love them so much and that they are welcome in your presence and welcome in the church. So, Father, we pray now that you would bless us abundantly with a harvest of souls from every background, every culture, that they would come to know Jesus Christ. And we pray that we would not hinder them, but we would welcome everyone, because you are Lord of not just some, but you are Lord of all. So challenge us now as a church that we can be a true reflection of your love and your welcome to each and every one. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. To God be the glory. The worship team are coming back. And as we prepare to draw their service to a close, we want you to know that you are welcome. And if you are here today and you've not yet come to faith in Jesus Christ, I'm here to encourage you today. You are welcome. You are welcome to receive from God today. If you're here today and you want to know more about Jesus, more about the church, then I would love to encourage you to come and talk to me after the service, or one of our deacons, one of the leaders, or the prayer corner here to my right, your left on the lower level, is available after the service. So if you need prayer, if you need to talk to anyone, or talk about anything that was said today, then please meet us in the prayer corner after the service. We'll love to share with you. You are welcome. Amen.
Thank you, Nathan. All right. Thank you, Nathan. I had to give him my microphone earlier on, so I'm using this one now. So as we look to...
Just one second. Yeah. Most going to share something. She's something on her heart. Here comes. Let me swing it around for you.
Can you hear me?
Speak a little bit closer to it. Come a bit closer.
excuse me. Now, I didn't come and watch that movie that has been mentioned today, but last Tuesday in the cafe church, we were open, and there was quite a few people in here, when two men came in. One was quite a large gentleman. They were dressed in just old T-shirts and shorts. And the other one was in a vest top, and you could see his body was covered in tattoos, and he had in his ear, forced into his earlobe, this big round earring. And apparently they had been driving up from Hastings, and they had a fault with their vehicle, and they went to a garage. And while the garage was fixing their vehicle, they walked up, saw the cafe church and came in. They sat chatting to us. They were really nice guys. And when they left, they said, what a change it was to meet with nice, friendly people. And I could imagine that if they'd walked into one of the coffee shops in Sittingbourne here, the way they were dressed, they would have been asked to leave because they would have upset the other people. So we didn't see the movie, but I tell you, God is working in this place. He's given you an example now. We are nice, friendly people. And perhaps somebody in Hastings will have heard of Sittingbourne Baptist Church. I had to share that with you. I've been sitting there shaking all the way through the sermon because I just had to share that with you. God is working in this place. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mo, for sharing that. Indeed, God is working. And as we bring this service to a close, before we do that, let me just tell you that afterwards, please stay behind and enjoy fellowship with us in the lounge, teas, coffees, perhaps even the odd biscuit here and there. I'm pretty sure the chocolate ones have probably gone by now, but there'll be biscuits anyway. And if you, I want to encourage you, if you want to give into the ministry of this church, we have a wooden box here at the back that you can put your gift in, and we've got an electronic thingamajiggy that does the same thing but electronically. That's just over here. So let's close this service and just give praise to God. We just recognize in this last song that to God be the glory. Let's stand and sing.
perfect redemption,
the purchase of God to every believer, the promise of God, the vilest offender, truly believes that garment from Jesus a pardon receives.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Let me just close by giving you this benediction, well known from the book of Numbers. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Of me, and like a flame.
Christ has